Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Hard salami's okay, but it's not as good, right? Although, maybe if you're French vanilla, you'd be like hard salami.
You mean the best vanilla?
The fake vanilla.
The real, the delicious
the
vanilla.
Fake vanilla.
The creamy vanilla without sand and dirt in it.
It's Mike Shope.
I like that
sand
one.
Sand and dirt. The beans.
Yeah.
The
yes.
Specks.
Yes.
Are the problem.
It's granular.
The actual what vanilla is. The absolute worst take you've ever had. Because it's on different levels of offensiveness.
I have a lot of questions. Number one, how dare you?
And the Bulldog.
Maybe when you first made the ice cream, they were interested in making it, I don't know, good, and added cream to it to make it creamy, to, like, thus ice cream, not ice sand. Ice gravel.
People, what do we even do?
I mean, what are we talking about?
Help.
Police! Help! Police! Help!
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Hard-hitting stuff. I don't know which way I want to go here. Could you expect to hear such a conversation on Check the Mic with Sam Monson and Steve Palazzolo, or would they never? I mean, it's a lighthearted, fun. You guys, Sam, they branch out a little bit. I don't know if ice cream, you know, necessarily meets the standard, but I've enjoyed watching and listening to Sam and Steve, their new podcast, Check the Mic, 33rd Team. And Sam, I know you've been experimenting with facial hair of late.
Yeah, we've been doing Movember, I guess, raising money for charity for men's health. We went about it in different ways. We've each been doing it. We each have our own Movember page. Steve has done it the sort of traditional way where you clean shave and then grow a mustache from scratch. I already had a beard, so I decided that for every $100 we raised, I would simply shave down the beard to a further ridiculous iteration of mustache. And now kind of running out of places to go because, you know, it's been getting smaller and I got a $400 donation in. I have no idea where to take it now.
You don't necessarily want to end up at just like a short mustache either, Sam, right? I mean, that's...
Well, there's the short mustache and, of course, there's the elephant in the room, which is the smallest mustache you can think
yes,
of.
Yes, yes.
Happened to be sported by a particularly unpleasant individual.
Yes, that's what I...
That's what he was going for, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, right. Yeah,
are you counting the days to
don't
December?
End up there, right. Yeah.
Are you counting the days at this point?
No, I mean, you know, I have a fairly high threshold of self-confidence, delusional self-confidence and
right.
Lack of self-awareness, I guess. So I tend to forget it when I'm out in public until suddenly you realize, oh, yeah, I look ridiculous.
You know, speaking of that, I'll just say this quickly. Mike and I have been together for 21 years now.
Yep.
We pick football games every Friday, 4 pro games, 1 college game. And we used to keep track of the standings, but we used to have a stake. And the one year the stake was, we were doing the show at a salon, and I lost, and Mike was allowed to do whatever he wanted to my head. Basically, or have the people at the salon do whatever.
I didn't touch him.
He wanted to my head, and his choice was to shave me completely bald, except for like a dyed green tuft in the center of my head, like up near the front, so I looked like a rhino. And I had to keep that for, was it a week?
At least.
And we had shows on remote, and I mean, it was pretty terrible, Sam.
I'm sorry. If I didn't say it then, I'm sorry. Really.
But I know all about threshold of embarrassment and yes. You know, ridiculous, unfounded self-confidence.
Hair related.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it sounds like it still could have been worse, you know? Not the worst thing he could have done to you.
Yeah, the year I lost, I had to eat. They got to decide what combination of food I had to eat. It was grape nuts, molasses, and something worse.
Anchovies. Yeah.
I mean, just.
He couldn't do it. He couldn't do it, and we let him off the hook.
Yeah. I ate some of it. All right. So, hey, thanks for being on, Sam. We've enjoyed having you on. And we'll
good luck with everything. Happy Thanksgiving.
a couple of things that have come up on our show today in the wake of the Bills' win over Kansas City. Here they sit at 9-2. And really, this was not a year, I think, where a lot of people expected quite this. Division favorite, but now they're really in play for the one seed in the conference. And we're also talking, Sam, like, if it's not going to be their year in the AFC, whose is it? What are your feelings about the Bills' chances?
Yeah, I mean, I think they've shown that they're right in there in the thick of it with anybody. I mean, Kansas City, obviously, was the team to beat in the AFC and was the last undefeated team, but they had been riding their luck literally from week one all the way through. They hadn't been, you know, destroying teams, looking like the most dominant team in the NFL. They were due a loss, and okay, it was probably going to take a pretty good team to beat them. But Buffalo were impressive in doing it and showed that, you know, they're not going to be terrified of playing Kansas City in the postseason. They're equipped to do it. It might not happen because the Chiefs are the Chiefs. They're really good. They have Patrick Mahomes. They have Andy Reid. You know, they're still going to be a force, but Buffalo's one of the teams that can beat them in January football. And, you know, they're one of the teams, I think, that are genuine Super Bowl contenders.
Do you think that this year, maybe with the Bills, I'm thinking about this specifically, Sam, is a case where a team maybe starts out the year and they become something else as the year goes on? Like, the Bills started out well enough, 3-0, but the offense was kind of like, I don't know, they scored some points, but the passing game wasn't quite clicking. They didn't have a number one guy. The mantra here was everybody eats, and it wasn't really clicking that much. Lost a couple of games. Then Amari Cooper shows up, and I feel like this team could look wildly different in January than it did in, say, October.
Yeah, I mean, I think Amari Cooper was a big pickup. He, you know, we talked in the offseason about the concern about that Bills receiving core on paper is they're missing a skill set. You know, once they trade away Stephon Diggs, there's nobody there that can just be plugged straight in, play that X receiver spot on the outside and consistently win those one-on-one matchups. And, you know, we were wondering, what were they going to do to try and fix that? Were they going to just shoehorn Keon Coleman in there and hope he can do it? You know, how is it going to work? This answers that question. They don't need anybody else now because Amari Cooper can do that. And now he might not be as good as some other receivers. He might not be a dominant force all the time, but he adds that skill set to the depth chart. And then you have way more flexibility with the other guys that they have. And it's just, they have more ways to win than they did before they bring him over. So I think that was a really shrewd acquisition, and it does give them extra strings to their bow once they hit January football.
How about Khalil Shakir in this offense, Sam? I'm not sure if he's necessarily underrated anymore. Guy's been very consistent, catches almost everything, doesn't seem to be too relevant in the red zone or anything. He doesn't have touchdowns to show for his season. Is he, like, what's the word for him? Is he somebody to take, you know, is he dangerous in a playoff chase? Is he somebody that might get overlooked?
I don't know if they'll overlook him, but he's a really important part of that team. He's incredibly dangerous after the catch. He's efficient. He's extremely reliable. I mean, he's an important part of an offense that needs to be able to move the ball in the postseason. And while, you know, Amari Cooper might be the guy that you go to for the deep strike down the field, or you know, Keon Coleman is a contested catch guy, Khalil Shakir is the guy, a big part of what's going to be moving the chains. The run game, Khalil Shakir, Josh Allen, like, those are the sort of the spine of this offense that's going to keep the ball moving. And then the other guys are the guys that chip in for the explosive plays that potentially takes them over the top.
Are there a lot of people in your world, Sam, who are sort of sitting back with their arms folded going, see, I told you about Shakir? I feel like he always had his fans within the scouting and analytical community, and I feel like you might have been one from when you joined us when he was first drafted. But I'm just curious if a lot of people are, I don't want to say taking a victory lap, but for a fifth-round pick, he's really been a valuable piece for them.
Yeah, there were definitely a lot of people that liked Khalil Shakir at draft time. I feel like this happens every year, though, where there are some players that everybody just loves in the mid rounds, and most of them probably don't work out. But the ones that do, you know, everyone feels really good about, and was like, I don't know how everybody missed it. It was obvious, like this guy was a star, and you know, Shakir I think fits that role. He was really good in college, and the tape looked like he was going to be a productive player at the next level. It took him a little bit of time. Maybe more. That was more Buffalo just sort of giving him the opportunity than it was him needing to adjust or needing to develop his game before he was good enough at this level. But it looks like the same player. I mean, he's a high-end playmaker for this team. A guy that I think a lot of people are happy seeing work out that way.
Tyrone Tracy might be one of these guys this year. We're all the running backs and the receivers that were drafted, but like here's one, yep, to Sam's point, late in the fifth round for the Giants.
Sam, obviously the Bills have been without Keon Coleman for a couple of weeks now, and you know, I don't know what the timeline is. He never went to IR, so hopefully, you know, coming out of the bye here, maybe he can come back or soon thereafter. And you know, that's another player that was somewhat polarizing at draft time, and boy, he started to show some real signs of progress before he got hurt, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a talented player who has the ability to be a kind of big playmaker for the team. He's a little bit like George Pickens, where separation is not his thing, but he might be good enough at the contested catch stuff to make up for that and to still be a really reliable deep target or big play threat because of that. And you know, you can do the contested catch stuff in the red zone as well. It might have been the week before he got hurt, but there was a sequence where it sort of shows the problem with that type of player, though, where they were down in the red zone. They took one shot at him. He wasn't able to come down with the contested catch. And then they went at him again, and the second one he was able to catch. It was a much more difficult catch than the first one was. And that's kind of what his season has been. He's at like 42% in terms of contested catches. And, you know, you're basically talking about it's a 50-50 shot. If you throw him the ball, and Allen is a good quarterback for a guy like that because he's willing to give those guys a shot. He's willing to put the ball into tight windows and just hope his guy will make the play. But that's the issue with those receivers, is that you're working on a 50-50 basis that they're going to come down with those contested targets. And sometimes that'll go your way and you'll get a couple of them in a game and they could be big high leverage plays or touchdowns. But if a couple of them swing against you, then suddenly it's a big lost opportunity in a single game, and that can be a problem.
With Sam Monson, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here on WGR. So the Bills, by beating Kansas City, have put themselves squarely in the race for the one seed. They're a half game apart. They'll have the tiebreaker if it ends up being a two-team tie. What about the Chiefs? The whole season, and this is reminiscent of last year, but their record wasn't as good last year. You kind of wonder if they really do have another gear. And for me, it's been too long, Sam. I mean, I know what happened in the postseason, but it's not like they were smoking, you know, good teams, but teams in the playoffs either. They got through it. It must be nice. Do you feel like there's another gear with the Chiefs, or are we at a point yet where this is kind of just who they are?
So I think they can get a little bit better. You know, they're close to a few big plays with Xavier Worthy over the last few weeks. Those guys have not been able to get it right, but they're very close to. DeAndre Hopkins, I think, can definitely make a big impact on this team as they integrate him into the offense a little bit more. So I think there is a higher ceiling than we've seen so far over the course of this year. I think generally this is they're not going to go back to, you know, they're not going to flip a switch and suddenly it's the Tyreek Hill era offense where they were just high octane, you know, insane points, could score at will very quickly. It's not going to go back to that overnight, but I think they could have a potentially higher ceiling than they've shown on offense so far. Their defense is really, really good, and that's really the thing that leads this team right now. But I also wouldn't be quick to dismiss what they can do in the postseason in terms of just willing themselves to be better. I mean, we've seen that now for a few years from Mahomes and Kelce. Once those guys hit postseason football, they are able to play better consistently. And I don't know if that's repeatable for most players in the NFL, but I think we've seen it enough now from those two in particular to say that it is. And, you know, Mahomes played clean football even with basically a destroyed ankle where he couldn't move on it. There's not many quarterbacks in the NFL that can do that at all. So I think there's definitely a degree to which this team, sure, they'd like to be a dominant force in the regular season. They'd love to have the one seed. They'd love to be the best team in football unequivocally. But they also know as long as they just make it to January, that's when you really need to show up. That's when they need to make sure they don't play poorly. That's when they need to make sure that they play clean football, and they've been able to do that.
Sam, looking at the standings tells us the Chiefs, the Bills, and the Steelers are the top three teams in the conference. I think a lot of people think the Ravens are the third team in that top tier in the conference. We'll get to them, but the Steelers, like, where are you on them? The record's excellent, but is it sustainable? Like, are they a threat?
They're definitely a threat. I think that they have a lower ceiling on offense than the other teams we're talking about. Their defense is really, really good. They might have the best pass rush in the NFL, the best front four. That group is devastating when it's all healthy and on the field at the same time. So the defense is really, really good. Russell Wilson, I think, raises the ceiling of the offense relative to Justin Fields. He's willing to take more of those shots that we talked about with Josh Allen. That opens up George Pickens and what he can bring to the table a bit. The trade for Mike Williams, I think, will potentially make an impact down the stretch as well. He's the same type of vertical receiver that wins contested catches and doesn't necessarily separate. Again, a kind of Russell Wilson, a good combination with Russell Wilson. The run game has been pretty good. So I think they're good. I don't know that they're great, and I wonder what happens when they face a team, you know, in the playoffs. You know, if they run into a team where that team shows up with their best football as well, I think Pittsburgh's best might be below the best of some of these other contenders.
Let's get the Ravens in next then. Four losses now, and both these teams have a tough schedule remaining. You know, Baltimore's got at the Chargers Monday night. They have a Philadelphia game left, and Pittsburgh again, among others. It'll be interesting, Sam. I mean, if the consensus is that Baltimore is more dangerous, fine, I would say that, but I don't like them if they have to play three road games in the playoffs. Like, what happens in that division, I think, is super important to the AFC outlook. Do you?
Yeah, and they also have, I mean, they just have the opposite problem to the one to Kansas City. They've been a different team in the postseason as well, but it's in the other direction. Their best play is amazing. I mean, they look like the best team in the NFL when they play at their best. We've seen that already this season against Buffalo. We've seen it against Cincinnati. They look unstoppable when their offense is on form. Their defense, I think.
Sam? All right, we'll try to get him back
see if we can, for a couple more minutes. See if we can't reconnect there. You know, I feel like the Ravens with the four losses already, maybe they're having last year's Chiefs season, you know? Like, I still think they're not that anybody's saying different in this conversation or maybe a lot of places. Like, they're still a team that I'm really worried about. And maybe their best year, you know, will be a year like the Chiefs had the last two, where they're not quite on point. They lose games, you don't know why, but, like, they still managed to come through.
Sorry, Sam, we lost you mid-Ravens.
Yeah, I was just saying, whoever makes the postseason from the AFC, they've got to go on this gauntlet of beating very good teams consecutively multiple times in the playoffs, and I don't know that the Ravens have shown that they can do that yet.
Mm-hmm. The depth of the conference, Chargers looking almost like locks to make the playoffs at this point, I might say, 7-3. Then you've got, it gets a little messy after that, I would say. How about L.A., and then is there a team below them in the standings that you think could make a run?
Yeah, the Chargers, I mean, they're playing perfect Jim Harbaugh football right now. Their defense is fantastic. It's really difficult to score against and move the ball against even. And then Justin Herbert is the perfect kind of Jim Harbaugh quarterback. He doesn't put the ball in harm's way very often at all. We saw against the Bengals, he's capable of having insane runs of hot play as well, where he just puts the ball exactly where he wants it, throws that very few quarterbacks can make. I think they're definitely dangerous. They're not a team people are going to want to face in the playoffs. And then I think Denver could wrap up that seventh seed and go on a little run themselves. Another team whose defense is really good. But this combination now of Bo Nix and Sean Payton as the offensive mind is really coming into its own. They are efficiently moving the ball. They've been pretty productive. Bo Nix looks better and better, even as a rookie. Denver could be putting it together right now and ramping up that seventh seed.
Houston's maybe in between these teams. I mean, they don't have to worry about the wild card mess. They're leading the South, and I'd expect them to win it. I mean, they don't have it sewn up, but they've already beaten Indy twice, and that's their closest pursuer. But are they – like, they got a lot of love in the summer, and I totally get it. They had a breakthrough year with a hot, you know, new quarterback and all that. I thought it was a little quick to say like they were in that top tier, and I think this year is sort of bearing that out. Do you think they still have are they dangerous to you, Houston?
I think they're definitely dangerous. It's sort of funny. The vibes for them are definitely not as good as their record and really haven't been all the way through the season. Every time you kind of look at their record, you feel like it should be worse than it actually is. But they have won quite a lot of games already. They've been doing it with a lot of injuries and a lot of missed players and important players. I mean, Nico Collins was on his way to Offensive Player of the Year before he got hurt. Stephon Diggs, obviously, they traded for. He's done for the year.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Joe Mixon has missed time. These are all the important players that are supposed to be the bedrock of that offense have not been there. The offensive line at times has been a real problem. It feels like the ceiling for this team is much higher than we've seen so far. And what we've seen so far has been good enough for, you know, seven wins. They've been good enough to beat some good teams and look pretty good doing it. The defense is pretty good. The offense is pretty good. But I think both can be better by the time they actually, if everybody gets healthy.
You want to see them open it up more? I do. It seems like we've gotten, everybody sort of realized that Houston plays it pretty conservatively, run pass stuff. Is that still true? And do you think maybe they should be a little bit more pass happy?
Yeah, but I think a lot of that was trying to protect that offensive line and try and sort of hide the biggest weaknesses that they had.
Okay.
They've sort of shuffled a bit and changed personnel there and I think have upgraded there, but you know, there was a period where, I mean, against the Jets, like C.J. Stroud, whose question coming into the NFL was how well can he play outside of structure or under pressure, almost every single play was him trying to make a play outside of structure. And he's definitely been way better at that in the NFL than I think people thought he would be. You still don't want him living in that world. He's not that type of quarterback. You want him to be an in-rhythm, within the structure of the offense passer, and all that kind of requires – you know, the run game to work, everything to work in harmony. And none of that was happening while the offensive line was a wreck and while Joe Mixon was hurt. So I don't know that opening it up necessarily is what they need to do, but I think they do need to kind of get everything back, the fundamentals back working so that they can then pass the ball a little bit more readily without it being chaotic.
Sam Monson, the Check the Mic podcast with Steve Palazzolo at Sam Monson NFL to follow Sam and also to donate to his Movember campaign. Donations available through a link right there on his pinned tweet. Thank you as always, Sam. Happy Thanksgiving.
Anytime. Thanks. You too, guys.
Thank you. That's my first happy Thanksgiving of the year. Probably won't talk to him again before then.
I think that's very, very unlikely that we would talk to him again.
Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah.
Call him tomorrow. See if he's available for another 20 minutes.
I think I squeezed a happy Thanksgiving in there somewhere, too. It wasn't like necessarily direct like that, a parting, but we got two happy Thanksgivings in there.
When was that?
I don't know. Somewhere in the course of the conversation, I squeezed in something about Thanksgiving. I don't remember exactly what.
Right then with Sam?
Not just right. Yeah, like during the 20 minutes that we were talking.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I missed that. I must have been doing a crossword puzzle or something when you were doing that.
You were thinking of how to piggyback on my very insightful, intelligent question.
Right. That's definitely what I was doing. You're right. Okay. Got a Bills trivia question for you, by the way, coming up. You like those?
Sure. I remember what it was now. It was when we were fooling around at the beginning, and you were like, and you said, okay, Sam, thanks for being on. I'm like, yeah, happy Thanksgiving.
Okay, right. 803-0550 is the number. Is this going to be the Bills' year? How do you feel about that after Sunday? Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. The Sabres are in L.A. That's a 9:30 pregame show tonight here on WGR. Right now, caller 5 at 716-221-4WGR. That's 4947. Wins a pair of tickets to see comedian Tammy Pescatelli November 30th at Rob's Playhouse Theater. Tickets are on sale now at PlayhouseTix.com. Know her?
Not familiar with her work.
Let's move on then.
That's fine.
Want the trivia question?
Sure.
I think you will get this completely right.
Whew. All this pressure.
Maybe you'll miss one. Maybe you'll miss one. Name the 11, I think it's 11 Bills.
That's a lot already.
To have a 10 rushing touchdown season.
Oh, boy. Okay, well, Cook is there now. All right, he's got 11 total. 10 of them are rushing, right? One receiving.
Correct. 10 in 10 games. He has a chance, incredibly, to set the team record.
What is the team record?
16.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That is a big thing that's different about them this year. Like, especially, we talked about it, you know, somewhat the last couple of days and even Sunday night on postgame. And you even mentioned their neutral, you know, their pass rate in this game. They realized they couldn't run it really effectively and stopped. I mean, they did start the game doing that and had a lot of third and longs, like we already talked about today, to dig out of, and they did, to their credit. But they also abandoned it, but still were able to run it down low. Like, Cook is scoring. You know, he's got the one long one against Miami, and they all haven't been goal line, but he's getting a lot of goal line this year. That's very different. So, okay, he's one. Allen last year would have gotten there with 15, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He never had 10 before that, did he?
Nope.
Yeah.
There are two players who've done it twice, but he's not one of them.
Okay. I mean, OJ is obvious. I would say Thurman would have to be on this list.
Thurman's career high was 11.
All right.
Plenty of receiving scores on top of that.
Joe Cribbs?
Yes. 1980. There is somebody else who's done it twice, so it's 10 guys. It's made it easier for you.
Oh, great.
It's 13 seasons, and three players have done it twice.
How many have I got so far?
OJ, Allen, Cribbs, Cook, Thurman.
Okay.
5. 10 rushing touchdown seasons.
Oh, boy. Well, are we going all the way back? Cookie Gilchrist?
He did it twice.
Okay.
62 and 63. Those were the years, not the touchdowns.
Okay. Wow.
Right? And he was good.
Yeah. He did it twice. It only counts for one, though. He's only one dude. I'm really... recently, no. Like McDermott era. I don't even think, would McCoy have gotten to 10 ever? I'm reluctant to say him. I don't have one wrong yet. Not that I'm necessarily going to be thrown out here if I get one wrong.
No, we'll keep you.
He's a name that comes to mind, but I don't know. Like I'm definitely ruling out like Singletary didn't do it. Like he almost never carried the ball down by the goal line. So there's no way he's on this list to me. And then there's like the years where they had. I wonder if. Would Antoine Smith be right?
No.
See, I blew it. All right, well, I'll guess McCoy now.
McCoy is right.
Okay.
He really was a workhorse for them. 2016. He was the last player to rush for 10 or more before Allen did it last year. And now Cook has done it already.
Yeah. I should have just guessed him before stumbling my way to Antoine Smith.
Antoine Smith rushed for 12 for the Patriots the year after he left the Bills.
That's too bad. That doesn't qualify for this.
Doesn't count.
He's not a correct answer.
He got to 8 twice for the Bills.
So, I mean, there's a lot of room in here. I mean, could Greg Bell have scored 10 for them?
Did not. I'll get you his. Remember, he had all the rushing touchdown for the Rams. We talked about this a couple weeks ago.
Right.
Where he might have led the league back-to-back years for the Rams. Most he ever had for the Bills was 8. Rushing. This is only rushing.
Someone is probably screaming at their radio, Kenny Davis, so I'll just say Kenny Davis.
No.
But probably not as a backup.
His career high for the Bills was 6.
How bad are the names I'm missing here right now, in your opinion? Are they obvious?
I mean, not exactly.
Yeah. I was really happy about Cribbs. I thought of Joe Cribbs.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. So there's this one friend who always bugs me about Joe Cribbs and how great Joe Cribbs was.
I love Joe Cribbs. Yeah. I love watching him run.
I got to introduce you to Bad Ronald sometime. We'll be out in the same place somewhere, and we'll have love to talk to you about Joe Cribbs.
Every once in a while, we just end up having a conversation about running backs and styles.
Yeah.
And that's a guy. I watch a lot of old games. I mean, that's 1980. It's not old, but just the high stride, the leg kick with Cribbs, he was really fun to watch. So you've got O.J. Simpson, Josh Allen, Cookie Gilchrist, McCoy 4, Cribbs 5, Thurman, and Cook, that's 7. You have another guy here who's done it twice. I'll give you the years.
I want to guess Rob Riddick first.
Correct.
Oh yeah, I'm so happy about Rob Riddick.
That's the one. 88.
So Riddick happy had about 11. Rob Riddick.
He had a touchdown dive over the top. It seemed every week, like automatic.
Right. The old Walter Payton over the snowdrift dive that I used to practice at the end of my driveway in the winter. Yeah. Because, I had so much in common. I'm close to being as good as Walter Payton at playing running back in the NFL.
He had 12. Did I say that number? He had 12.
You said 11, I thought.
But it's 12.
12, okay.
In 88, sorry. At age 31.
Nice. That's Lewis Riddick's brother.
Yes.
So I need one more now?
Two more.
Two more. Damn it.
They were teammates.
Ooh. Curtis Brown and Roland Hooks.
No. I believe they were teammates, though.
I believe they were, yeah.
No. More recent.
Sammy Morris and Sean Bryson.
You really have blocked out this era. It's also not Fred and Spiller.
No, I have. No, Travis Henry.
Right.
What an idiot I am.
Henry and McGahee.
McGahee, right. Yeah, you're right. I have.
Yep.
I just, we're on the radio for all of it. And I think it's a blackout zone.
I think Fred Jackson had 9 one year. That's right. And then what would Spiller have ever topped out at? I mean, he had that 6 yards per carry season.
That one year, yeah.
But when touchdowns,
Fred's turn.
6.
Yeah.
6. That season, he had 1,244 rushing yards and 6 touchdowns and 43 catches. This is when I was not playing fantasy football. Like 10, 12 years ago. This is 2012 in Spiller's case. That's a big year.
Yeah.
1,244, 6 touchdowns and 43 catches, 459 receiving yards, and 1,700 yards from scrimmage and 8 touchdowns for Spiller that year with Jackson in his backfield.
Jackson getting his turn, like Chan Gailey would
say. He would get his turns. Yeah. There you go.
It's kind of funny how, I mean, Fred is very much a beloved, like, maybe the most beloved Bill from the drought. He's a beloved all-time Bill. And there was a time in that season where, like, he as much as he was popular, it was like people were mad when Chan Gailey would say, well, it was Fred's turn.
Yeah.
I mean, he only probably said that one time after a game, and we just sort of hung on to it. Like, it's his turn? What are we doing here? Let's all go out for ice cream. What the hell?
Our boss hated that. Remember our boss would come in here at the time, Greg, and be like, what is this business with Fred's turn? He hated that.
Right, right, right. It's weird that Fred is the centerpiece of that, and yet he's so, you know, it's like this moment in time where, I guess any athlete probably has that in their professional career where they're, you know, everything's great, but like, you know, it rains sometimes, and that was some rain on Jackson, I guess, at least from the fans.
Marshawn Lynch had 8. That was his top year for the Bills, and he had double digits for Seattle 4 times rushing. All right. He did fine. I mean, I don't know. It was a lot to expect you to get every name without a mistake. So that was probably too much to ask. Well, clearly it was.
Yeah, there's no question about that. Yeah.
In retrospect, clearly it was. We will talk to Paul Hamilton, not for a while, 6 o'clock with the Sabres playing out west. We did the same thing yesterday, having Paul on at that time. Sabres and Kings, 10:30, so 9:30 pregame. No Tage Thompson tonight for the Sabres. Again, so Paul coming up with us at 6 Eastern. Lines are open for you. We had a lot of interesting calls in the first hour today on just with the bye week here, reflecting on the Bills season so far. Some of, maybe most or all of, most fans' concerns before the season have not been much of a problem. And the whole idea about spreading the ball around more, I mean, they're 9-2. And the conference just looks right for it to be their year. I know some of you are superstitious, but really, like, talking to Sam Monson, other people, if they don't get it this time, right, with what is happening in the AFC, then when? 803-0550 if you want to join us for that conversation. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. This is WGR. Welcome back. We'll get back into it. The 9-2 Bills headed to the bye week after the update coming up here at 5. 803-0550 if you want to be on with us. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here on WGR. Tomorrow night, it's Steelers-Browns. The line is 3.5. Pittsburgh is favored by 3.5. And I want to say only. It was the Texans and the Jets on a Thursday night a few weeks back where the Texans, I believe, were 6-2 and the Jets were 2-6.
Mm-hmm. And the Jets were favored.
And the Jets were favored. And it was pointed out that, like, since 1990, every time a team on the wrong end of that kind of record disparity was favored, that team won. Like, they know what they're doing with these lines. Mm-hmm. And the Jets did win that game against Houston. The Steelers are 8-2, and the Browns are 2-8. The Browns are not favored.
Right.
But 3.5 and 36.5, so, you know, you're in the 20-16 ballpark. It's also supposed to snow.
Ooh.
Lake effect snow and windy for this game Thursday night. Remember snow?
In Cleveland. Yeah.
In Cleveland.
All right.
I was on with Matthew Collar today, Purple Insider. We always talk for a little bit about the Thursday night game, and we were having this conversation, and I looked at the weather like, uh-oh.
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
40, high of 40 for the day tomorrow in Cleveland. I guess we'll probably get that weather by the weekend. High of 40 in Cleveland tomorrow. And then, of course, getting colder and precipitation at night, maybe snow. So I'm ready to watch a snow game.
Especially a Thursday night game.
Yeah.
Between, well, a good team and a not good team. Whatever. But snow game. Snow game, no matter who's playing. I mean, it can certainly elevate. If Cleveland were playing Carolina, the snow would elevate the game. Like, hey, I'm going to watch this.
It might save it for you.
Yeah. Honey, what are you doing? I'm watching Carolina and Cleveland. Aren't they terrible? Yeah, but it's snowing. Just, you know,
how funny is that?
Not that my wife ever questions whatever. She'll ask, what are you watching? So I won't ask why.
Why not just look outside when it's snowing and find that is interesting?
It's more fun to watch grown men stumble around and play in the snow, I think. Because it makes
on grass.
Yeah, because it certainly, I think it still reminds me of playing around in the snow. I think that's why adults like watching snow games, because you did it as a kid, and it seems still pretty cool.
I mentioned watching these old games. We're talking about Joe Cribbs, and some of those 70s games, not even so much in the 80s, here and there, but the mud that these guys would play in sometimes.
Yeah.
I know of a game, and you do too. I think it was 1974, the Bills and the Jets, one of those years where it was so windy that nobody could complete a pass. Like, it was a low-scoring game. I think the Bills might have won, but Ferguson might have gone 0 for 2 in the game. Like, just, it was so bad out.
Yeah.
And there's footage of it,
right?
I think, of Namath.
Yes.
His hair blown around.
Yeah,
maybe
we passed the anniversary of that recently, because like one of those Today in Buffalo Sports History feeds on Twitter or something, I remember seeing, I think I might have even brought it up, the highlights of that. And yes, Namath's hair blown around. There's also a clip of him throwing a ball from like toward the near sideline from the camera angle, right? Like, so towards the press box, presumably. And like the ball just... one of the most wind affected throws you'll ever see in your life. It's just like, has no chance. It's not a long pass, really. Just like a little 10 or 12 yard out. And it just is sailing and just no chance of getting near the receiver. There's nothing you could do.
2 for 18 with 3 picks. Namath in that game.
Wow.
The Jets had a total of 33 net passing yards. The Bills had 0. This was a September game.
Wow.
That the Bills won 16-12. But I think it would have been the same season late when they played at Shea. And the mud in this game is just crazy. Like, how did you got OJ running through the mud? I mean, simpler times.
Right.
I guess. Not quite as affluent, the NFL.
Right, right.
In the mid-70s.
Yeah,
but
the artificial turf was still a burgeoning idea. There were artificial turf fields by then, but not many of them.
Love a mud game. So you might get a form of that, or snow, you know, Thursday night, tomorrow night, with Steelers-Browns. Pittsburgh is an interesting part of the AFC playoff picture. We'll spend some more time on that. At 9-2, does it feel like this is going to be the Bills' year? Part of that question for me is, if it's not, whose year is it? With the Chiefs not looking, Chiefs being bad, why not just say it again? Is Pittsburgh good? Can Baltimore get there with their schedule and having 4 losses already, maybe facing road games in the playoffs? 803-0550 for your take on it. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.